And you want why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, it looks like the religion of peace has struck again, even though they probably will say it wasn't a religion of peace. But what latest thing I saw today, 22 dead, 22 dead in Manchester, England, which I also understand this. It's like the central point of diversity and tolerance, Manchester. Some guy goes in, straps himself on a bomb, nail bomb, what I understand, shoots off that nail bomb in a concert. First of all, what is your child doing in watching a concert of Ariana Grande or whatever her name is? Kind of shows where we are in America. And you know, at some point the big boys are gonna have to take over. You know that, don't you? At some point the big boys are gonna have to take over. When this blindness begins to fall off of our eyes and understand what's going on around us. I'm in a frustrated mood today. I'm gonna share a little few things with you and then try to work out my own frustration here with fear and trembling as we progress through the show. I want to give a tip of the cap again. Thank all the people who sent me really nice emails about our show. Or I'm sorry, our event last weekend. It was a good one. It was really, really good one. A lot of afterglow as a result of it. I spent yesterday trying to get caught up of giving up 4 days like that or whatever it was to get it organized. Tip my hat really to Sarge, who came out here and did a great job helping us get everything organized. Everybody helped with it. You know, I'm not going to start naming names because I'll just leave some names off the list. But it was a great event. But as always happens, I just continue to be amazed. And maybe you can help me out there. Please understand this. I never feel sorry for myself. Don't ever. People send me email. Like I made a comment yesterday about the way I was dressed because I came down here real early and I had an old sweatshirt on. God bless those sweet people out there. They all say, "Oh, Coach, we don't care how you dress." Well, God, thanks. I don't always need reinforcement for everything that I say. So I appreciate that. I really do. But I just got to share some things with me that have just become so disheartening to me. And I don't know the reason. I do. I can't figure out why so many people who really, really know me know what I'm about. Well, some may don't get it. So many do not get it. A little bit of personal promotion here. I don't want to sound like that. I'm going to tell you something right now. You're not going to run into anybody who loves people more than me. I often find myself, as Jesus said, moved with compassion towards people. I had a situation yesterday. I'm not going to go into it, but I came across a profoundly lost guy yesterday and spent some time with him. And my heart grieved. My heart's grieving this morning for this profoundly lost guy. And a lot of times I think people view my harshness as a lack of caring. Boys and girls, I was a coach. And I know this, that at the conclusion, not every player loved me. You understand that? They did not love me. But I bet if you went back and did a survey of, I don't know, 1,000 guys that played for me, 1,000, I bet 900 of them today would, I bet 900 of them going to cry at my funeral or cry when I die. Because they know that all that stuff that I did, all that harsh stuff I did, all that crap I took them through, all that time I hit them when they were down, all that time when I broke them down, all that time when I told them the truth, they all know that now when they're 35 and 40 and 45 years old, they now know what a value that was. And I bring the same thing to ministry. Do you understand that? I bring the same thing to ministry. Hey, listen, folks, there are plenty of people out there going to rub you on the back, tell you how how it's all going to be okay and Jesus loves you. There's a million people out there going to do that kind of stuff, okay? You can find that anywhere. Go to any church you want to and you're going to hear that. That's not my call. That's not what I do. And if it doesn't appeal to you, do me just both a favor. Quit listening and please stop emailing me, okay? I heard from somebody I consider a friend, good friend. I guess that's why it's sometimes grievous. And in a roundabout way, the good friend said, I'd go with you a little bit more if you shared the gospel. And so my response was, well, find somebody else that's sharing the gospel and go with them. But here's the problem. There ain't anybody else doing it. So they don't like the way that I do it, or they think that it's wrong. And folks, listen, man, there's more than one way to skin a cat. And I'm sorry if my harshness doesn't witness to you. Doesn't mean I love you any less. These guys here on the queue, every one of these guys know in the queue, if they call me, I'm coming. I'm going to come. I love people. I care deeply about people. But I will not coddle people. And I will not coddle people, particularly who are trapped in a dead, life-sucking religious system. I'm not going to coddle them. I'm not going to coddle them. And if you are happy and you are content sitting in that lame matrix of Christianity that you're in, if you're comfortable there, then I can't help you. Because the scriptures, book of Hebrews, tells me that I'm to provoke you to love and good works. I'm to provoke you. I'm a provocateur. And I'm sorry. If sometimes I learned this from my friend Flip Benham, you listening? You write this one down. This be the word for the day. Sometimes God's love hurts. You hear that? Sometimes God's love hurts. It ain't all sunshine and roses out here in the real world, big boys. It ain't all sunshine. I wonder if some of you out there who criticize me, let's all get on a plane and let's drive over to Manchester, England, and let's find the friends of that dude who just blew everybody up and tell them how much Jesus loves them. Let's go do that. See how that progresses us forward. See how that advances the kingdom. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of God suffers violence and violent men take it by force. And violent doesn't mean guns and bombs, and it doesn't mean that, although it could. It means this. Violent is the root word, comes from the root word of violate, to violate. The kingdom of God's been violated. It's been violated. The kingdom of God in America in particular has been violated. People have come in and they've stolen the gospel away from us, folks. They have stolen the gospel away from us. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of God has been being stolen. And godly men got to steal it back. We got to take it back. And that good theologian, great theologian, Woody Hayes, former football coach at Ohio State, said he never saw a football player make a tackle with a smile on his face. And listen, you play patty cake, smoochy, 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 fluffy, fluffy, fluffy Christianity, I ain't in. And I can tell you this. Hey, Rich, I'm not patting myself on the back, okay? I'm not patting myself on the back. I'm going to tell you this right now. I do more for the downtrodden than any one of you dudes telling me how mean I am. You understand that? Don't bring that crap here. That crap don't flush here, okay? I don't want to hear it. And if you want to go out there and sing Kumbaya and go do whatever and tell people how much Jesus loves them, you go do it. I have a different way. Different technique, different way of getting done. Okay, got that off my chest. Anybody want to tone in? Anybody want to tap in here? Good to see you this morning, Jeff. See you got in there. Okay, JR.
Your clothes, dirty clothes clean, you got to agitate it.
You do, brother. And JR, I learned a long time ago, that's my call, brother. That's it. That is my call. And you know me, JR. You know I'm a good guy, man. You know I got a big heart, huh? Listen, I'm not looking for affirmation here. I'm not looking for affirmation. A guy is not successful as a football coach over a three-decade period if he doesn't know how to treat people. You understand that? And I hear people say to me all the time, pastors don't want me to come and speak at their churches for fear of what I might say. What the? They think I just fell off the freaking turnip truck? What are you talking about? You don't think I would know how to appropriately speak to a group of people? Do you think I'm going to come into somebody's church and blow up their church? I have more respect for people than that. But because I get on my show and handle my show the way I want to handle my show, and you don't like it, you think I'm going to come into your church and act like that? Well, brother, let me give you this one word of wisdom out there, pastors. There are a lot of guys sitting in your pews that need a guy like me.
Dave.
Yeah.
It's not the fact that we here on the huddle do not acknowledge the gospel they want to be preached all the time.
I preach that gospel, actually. Go ahead.
I acknowledge it. It's not that I don't want, I acknowledge that there is, God loves the believer. He's merciful.
He's merciful to me. Yes.
But there is no balance anymore. There is no presentation of the gospel message that is in a little different direction. The wrath of God, the judgment of God, the truth of his word, true love of God, being obedient to his word. There's no balance. See, that's what I'm recognizing is,
yeah,
there's no balance. It's just 85% of this and maybe 10% of this, and that's it.
And none of this, and none of this.
Well,
and see, we're,
but there's no balance.
No, and we're fighting against big religion. Okay? We're fighting against big religion. You know, the Lord had me coin that phrase last week, just kind of came up out of me. Fighting big religion. I got your message there, Robert. Matt says Matthew 16:27. Thanks, you, Robert. Get that up there, Jared, Matthew 16. We're fighting big religion. What do you mean by big religion? Hey, just look around you. Look around you, okay? Let's talk about the denominations. I'm not going to talk about that. Let's talk about the denominations. We know that the local pastor, for the most part, is controlled by the denomination. That's big religion. That's big religion. But see, big religion also creeps into your individual congregation, because if your pastor doesn't talk about it, you don't believe it. If he doesn't share it with you, you don't believe it. Listen, pastors, you may know a lot of stuff I don't know, but I'm going to tell you something. I know a lot of stuff you don't know. It's like this. See, you can take a class on tackling.
I
know how to tackle a guy. Well, then you can go tackle somebody. I'm going to tell you, they ain't the same. You can take a class on marketing, and then you got to go out and do some sales, and they're not the same. Class is not the same. And most of you have never moved beyond the classroom. And here's what I'm here to tell you. I've been out where the big dogs run. You know what I'm talking about? And I know that patting everyone on the head ain't the right answer. You understand that? You pat them on the head, they're going to bite you at some point. You get what I'm telling you? And so big religion is happening right in your church, right where you're going to church is big religion. And so big religion says, well, we don't do that here. That's not how it works here. Well, really? So it works over in this church, and it works over in this church, and it works out on the street, but it doesn't work in your church? Big religion, big mind control. Oh, the coach, boy, hang on, Larry. Boy, you're diving into it now. Well, I'm just telling you. Some of you guys are so brain dead. Some of you folks out there watching this show now, you are so brain dead when it comes to your faith. So brain dead. We watch the world is blowing up around us. They're blowing up people in Manchester, England. They're blowing up, and they're telling us that Islam is a religion of peace, and we're to love them, just love them into the kingdom. Well, how many of you are doing that? When's the last time you went to the Muslims and tried to love them into the kingdom? Stop that crap. Don't talk like that if you're not going to do it. Show me your faith, Paul said. Not tell me about it. Show me your faith. I'm tired of theory. You guys are like Barack Obama. Got all the theories of how to do something and ain't ever no boots in the ground to anything you do. And you always got a better way to do it than the way the guy's doing it. My old saying, I like the way I do it better than the way that you don't. Larry, come on in here, Larry.
Yeah, I just want to say Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega.
He's
both ends of the spectrum. There ain't just pick one spot and camp there.
He's an alpha male, huh?
Yeah. He's the beginning and the end. He's got both extremes covered. If you stick on one extreme, you're rejecting the rest of what he is.
Boy, oh boy, Larry. Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end, and he don't always do it the way that you do it. Amen. Bless you, Larry. Sorry you couldn't get in here this morning. But calm down, Coach. That's what you're thinking out there. Somebody bail me out or push me over. Somebody jump in here. Bail me out or push me over. I don't care which one. I'm waiting. Doesn't matter. It's okay. I'm ready to roll on. I'm ready to roll on. Somebody at least give me a thumbs up so I know I got one friend in the crowd. And I'm here to tell you today that, as JR just said, I'm the agitator, and I'm telling you this, Christian world, what we are doing is not working.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah, George.
Man, I'm sorry. You know, you said for someone to come in, I was just speechless because it's, you know, I don't know how you cure stupid. I heard a guy one time say, "You're so stupid, you're just going to have to stay that way." And if these people want to stay that way, they're just going to have to stay stupid.
See, I think the world is absolutely a wonderment of everything around us. It's a wonderment. God says in Romans 1 that we're out without excuse. God is everywhere you look, man. Everywhere you look. But we want to stay in a box. We just want to look at it just in our church on Sunday and what our preacher told us. People get nervous. You talking about giants? Yeah. Sorry, that happens to be an aspect of Christianity. Sorry if it makes you a little bit nervous. You talking about MK Ultra's mind control? Yeah, I'm sorry. I am. You know, sexually, satanically, ritually. Yeah, I'm sorry. Pedophilia? Yeah, I'm sorry. But Coach, we don't want to hear about that in our church. We just want to preach the gospel. Well, Jesus said, "Go ye into all the world." First of all, he told you, love not the world, and he said, go into it. Love not the world, nor the things of the world. And he said in Matthew 28, go ye into all the world. Go into that place. Don't pick it up. Don't have nothing to do with it. Come out from it. Be separate when you come out from it, but go back in there. And what do you do when you go back in there? Hey, you get yourself into a tussle. That's what you're going to do. Because from the days of John the Baptist till now, there's been some violence taking place here in this kingdom thing. And you are birthed onto a battlefield, okay? You're birthed onto a battlefield. It's time you stood up and started acting like it and realized it. Otherwise, the kingdom of God is not going to advance, folks. The kingdom of God, wait, time out. I'm telling you, it's advancing, okay? But it ain't advancing. If you are looking for it, you're not going to see it. You're just not going to see it. If you're looking at it for that stone edifice on the corner in downtown Columbus, you ain't going to find it. Because when we go to the gay pride parade, that stone edifice will be marching in the parade in support of the homos. See, listen, and your church is going to, okay, I'm going to ride on it a second. Say, Coach, just get people saved. Just get them saved, Coach. Okay. How about this one? I know where a bunch of lost folk are. They're not in your church. Okay, they're not in your church. Well, they may be, but they're, yeah, that's true. They may be. But I know this, on the 17th of June, 2017, at Broaden High Street in Columbus, Ohio, there's going to be about 60, 80, 100,000 profoundly lost people. How about coming with me and let's go get some souls saved? You want to come and do that? Well, you're not called to do that, right? That's not your calling. No. You want to go to Haiti. I'm going to go to Guatemala. I'm going to go over there and get all those souls saved in Guatemala. Or I want to go to Moldova and go rescue children in Moldova while the government schools are eating our kids alive right here and now. But you ain't going to say a daggone thing about it. I'm just ranting today. I'm not teaching. Sorry. So I'll get it off my chest. Get it off my chest. So we have to ask ourselves, what does the gospel apply to? Does the gospel of Jesus Christ simply apply to church and churchy stuff? Or when Jesus said, taught us to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What does that mean? Is it just his kingdom comes just inside your little church? You eat, meet, retreat, greet? Is that it? That's what we're supposed to do? Or are we supposed to take this gospel, by the way, of the kingdom of God? We've been through that over and over and over. And you have people tell you, just preach the gospel. I say, which one? The gospel of the kingdom of God. The full counsel of God. And those who then don't like the way that we do it. And be honest with you, most of you, if you've ever shared the gospel at all, it's been in a foreign country. It hadn't been in your own town. So the gospel is the answer to everything. It is the answer to every problem we have. Hey, boys and girls, you know what the answer to pedophilia is? Yep, the gospel. You know what the answer to overtaxation by our government is? You got it, the gospel. You know what the answer to homosexuality is? Yep, you got it. You know what the answer to divorce is? You know what the answer to fornication is? You know what the answer to laziness and lying and stealing and you know what the answer to all that stuff is? Yeah, the gospel. You know what the answer is to some guy being a suicide bomber and going blowing up and killing 22 kids in Manchester, England? Yeah, you know, yeah, you got it. Yeah, you know it is. You know what you're not allowed to share in America? Yeah, you got it. You're not allowed to do that, really. They try to keep you out of the schools. They try to keep the gospel out of the church. They try to keep it in a little box. They tell you you're judgmental. They tell you that you're hateful. They do everything they can to silence the mouth of truth. That's what they're trying to do. They're trying to silence it. And we're not smart enough. We haven't figured it out yet. And we pay all of our taxes and pay everything to the government. And the government continues to slam down the throat of our children and down the throat of our people stuff that does not work, lies that do not work. We continue to fund it, the lies that do not work. We continue to pay and fund all that stuff. And the church acts like they're a world unto themselves. When the church is the answer to every problem that we see everywhere we go. Why are they teaching? Why are they still teaching the lie of macroevolution that we evolved from pond scum? Why are they still teaching that in your school, Pastor? Why is that allowed to be taught? Hey, Pastor, why in the public schools are they teaching the children of your congregation that marriage is a man and a man is just the same as marriage is a man and a woman? What is it? Should you go into all the world, Pastor, and straighten that issue out? Or you just let it lay there and let your kids say, well, we don't really believe that. That's just government schools doing that. That's just, well, brother, they're just lost. Well, yeah, they are. We're supposed to be salt and light. And is it okay? Just asking, is it okay for them to teach lies to somebody else's kid? Is that okay? And then we find out that the devil's kids are more aggressive and they're out marching in the streets. They're changing laws. They're doing everything that they can, the devil's kids. And we sit back and we hide, go to Guatemala. I don't even know where I'm going on this today. I mean, I sort of know where I'm going. I'm venting. It causes me great, great, great concern that there is no spiritual, intellectual curiosity among Christians. It grieves me. You mean to tell me that there were giants? The Bible says there were giants. Would you like to know a little bit about that? No, brother. We can't. We gotta get ready for Easter service. You mean to tell me that they're out there, that there are out there predators on your children and grand? You mean to tell me that Hollywood is sending demonic signals to your children? Are you kidding me? Oh, we don't, brother. No, we like Disney. See, folks, the gospel is all-encompassing. Am I making that clear today? It's all-encompassing. What is there one area of the life that the gospel does not apply to? Can somebody give me one? One?
Hey, Dave, I just looked up gospel in the Merriam-Webster dictionary. Something accepted or promoted as an infallible truth.
Read that again. Read that again, Rich.
Something accepted or promoted as an infallible truth.
There's your problem, but there's our problem.
And we
don't think it's infallible. We Christians want Donald Trump to straighten the world out for us. Hmm. Boys, oh boys, it's gonna get exciting. It's gonna be fun. It's gonna be fun.
Hey, coach.
All right. Yeah, go, George.
Coach, hey, real quick. You know, I think most Christians have gotten to the point where they've been so deceived. They think the enemy can keep taking all this ground, like in our public schools, for instance. Yeah. And they think it's never going to affect them. And that couldn't be further from the truth. It's coming if something doesn't change.
Georgia, sorry. Go ahead.
It already is. Coach, like you talked about before the show, look at the families. How come in our culture it's normal to think that your kids are going to suck? Why is that
That's
normal?
Right.
Why is that normal? Why is it normal to think that your kids are going to be the opposite of you? Why is that normal?
That's right.
That's it.
What other culture does that, Jared? What other culture does that? What other culture permits their children to be reproduced into a different set of beliefs than the parents hold? What other culture does that? What other culture? Other than us, Christianity. And we're supposed to be the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead. Jesus said, all power is given unto me. All power. He said, my kingdom's coming. Man, my will's going to be done in earth. And who are the least aggressive group of people in the world than the pacified Christian eunuchs?
Dave. Can you hear me?
We lost him. He froze up. What you got?
Well, you know, I'll make the bigger picture till Dave comes back. You know, I think of Europe, I think of France, I think of Britain. The American people don't understand. Those nations are lost from demographics. What do Americans think is going to happen with the nuclear arsenal of Europe when the majority becomes Muslim? What do they think is going to happen?
Well, I don't even know. By the way, I buzzed out there for a minute. I'm back now. I was hearing you the whole time, Roger, but you couldn't hear me. What do they think is going to happen? What do they think the consequences of what's going on in Manchester, England? What's going to happen when that's Columbus, Ohio? What's going to happen when that's Las Vegas, Nevada? What's going to happen when that's Frankfort, Kentucky? What's going to happen then? Why are we always behind the eight ball? Sarah?
I think it's time that people realize what the Prime Minister of Turkey said a few years ago, and I'm going to paraphrase. He said, Islam is Islam. There are no radicals. And to say that is an insult. These people, in my opinion, are orthodox. They are following their book.
They're good Muslims. Book. They're good Muslims, aren't they, Sarah?
They're good Muslims. And those that don't go out and send their children or husbands pay money. Other countries that are our friends, they pay to have jihad. They pay. They back them. People need to realize Islam is Islam. There are no different radicals. They're orthodox. They are following their book to the T.
So the
Christians are not.
So where Muslims are peaceful and loving, they're just the Methodist Muslims. They're just the Presbyterian Muslims. They're just the Lutheran Muslims. They're not the fundamentalist, sold-out, committed Muslims. You're right, Sarah. You're right. You know what Jim just sent to me? Jim Kraft just texted me this. He said, listen, this is profound. You're sitting down? Inside the four walls of the church house is not where Jesus told us to take the gospel. He said to take it to the whole world. We are the church, and we are the kingdom of God. The world is not the church, nor is it the kingdom. And that's where we are to go with the gospel of Jesus Christ, to change the world to become like the kingdom of God. But we don't see, we want to be in the world, but not of the world, but we don't want to transform the world. We don't want to be the salt of the earth. We don't want to be hated. We don't want people to reject us. We don't want to do that. We think it's unloving when we speak the truth. We think it's unloving. It's the greatest form of love that you can have. Oh, my goodness. Good word there, Jim. Yes.
Come on.
Can't hear you. Got to unmute yourself, Larry.
Jesus also knew that taking that word was not always going to be received. Why else did he tell his disciples where they don't receive the word, shake the dust off your feet of that place?
Wow. Amen. But here's what I'll give you some hope. We've been banging on the same wall here for a while. Been banging on it. I didn't get to the scripture I was going to get to. I'll get to it when we come back. Hey, Jared, pull up. I'm going to give you some hope. Okay? Jared, pull up that church outside the church. I did this little video. I got to start doing them again. Listen, folks, there's a church outside the church. There is. And the problem, let's see, again, that we're having, we continue to run around the mulberry bush. We continue to think that that place where you go on Sundays is the church, and it isn't. It's an unbelievable, tough paradigm switch for all of us to get in our heads. Say, Coach, do you hate the local church? You're always fighting the local church. No, I'm not fighting the local church. I'm pointing out it's weak, ineffective, and for the most part, full of goats. Sorry. Full of goats. They have a form of godliness, Paul said, but deny the power thereof. A form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. That's what's sitting on the corner, okay? Now, Reverend Rusty Thomas and those 11 people who got arrested down in Louisville, Kentucky, almost 2 weeks ago now. See, that's the church. That's the church outside the church. There's a church, man. I'm going to tell you something. It's alive and well and functioning. The church showed up at our conference this weekend. There's a church out there, boys and girls. And I'm sorry if you're so comfortable in your Christianity that you don't dab your toe in and find out what it's all about. Did you say something, Rod? Somebody said something.
Think about the disciples. How many of them ended up in jail preaching the gospel? I mean,
yeah.
Paul writes 2/3 of the New Testament. He is the man in the New Testament. And he ends up in jail asking for his coat by himself. Are we to follow their lead or not? Are we to acknowledge that part of their ministry? It wasn't all fried chicken and mashed potatoes on a Sunday afternoon. Many of our leaders of the Bible ended up in jail. Tell me anybody today that ends up in jail.
Roger's dog's barking. Think of this. First century Christianity. Was the world then as dark as America today? Suppose they had pornography issues in first century Jerusalem, had porn issues?
Yeah, they did.
Suppose they did? I suppose they had a lot of homo sex going around in first century?
Yes.
No. Yeah, I don't know. The church outside the church, I want you to be encouraged by this. I've been kind of negative here this morning. Well, people, I hear that a lot too.
Hey, Coach, I'd like to, if you would allow me to steer us away from the predicament to looking at the solution for a minute.
Sure.
Now, it doesn't matter whether your issue is pro-life or the homosexual issue or the natural family issue or the breastfeeding. It doesn't matter what the issue you care deeply about. What does matter is what has brought us to the point where our nation, as a nation, has swallowed the lie of the devil as to how we're supposed to be. And it's very simple. The answer to that is very simple. The nation's course will follow the application of whoever's behind the steering wheel. And the steering wheel is information. The steering wheel is the data that the nation has been fed for decade after decade after decade. And the reason we're in the mess we're in is because the information givers have been on the enemy's team in our country, both outside and inside the, quote, church. Now, what is the answer? The answer is to change who's behind the wheel. Now, we've been trying for decades and decades and decades to get the truth message out there. You've been doing it for many, many years, and it has reached a few ears. Just, you know, look at the huddle down here, etc. But the thing is that is not sufficient, because you don't, we don't, we do not even, we can't even see the steering wheel from where we're sitting, much less reach over, grab it and affect which direction the nation is going. So what we have to do is we have to find a way to remove and destroy those behind the steering wheel. Now, they destroy our way of life. They destroy our bricks that we build our morals on. They're all after destruction, because they understand when something is destroyed, it won't come back and bite them. That's the attitude that we have to develop, is to remove and destroy the ones behind the steering wheel right now.
Amen, Larry. Well said. And that's one of the things I'm gradually heading towards here. So let me throw this out there. I reserved a campground for the 16th and 17th for this boot camp. 30 people. I have room for 30 people. If you can get up here, we'll have a place for you. And we're going to go on the 17th to the Homo Pride in Columbus. We're gonna lift up the name of Jesus. I got room for 30 people. Stuff's not even up on our website. I secured it yesterday. Mark it on your calendars. If you can get here, we need you. Because why? As Larry said, we have to change the paradigm. We got to change it. But there's a church outside the church, okay? There's a church outside the church. And one of the things that I'm going to get into, been threatening to get into here for 2 weeks, is the ACLU and all that kind of stuff. I'm heading there. I'm trying to paint a picture to you to understand how aggressive the enemy is and how passive our side is. Can somebody please tell me where's the Christian George Soros? Where's the guy somewhere out there that's dumping in billions and billions and billions of dollars to advance the kingdom of God? They're not doing that because they're dumping it into churches. They're dumping it into dead organizations that aren't doing anything. That's what's going on. So if we were really doing what we were supposed to do, trying to advance the gospel, the kingdom of God, we would not be as passive. We wouldn't continue. Oh, well, I'm not even going to go there. Go ahead and play it, Jared. The church outside the church. Let this bring some hope for you. We're looking for you. Go ahead.
Hi, friends. This is Coach Dave Dobbenmeyer at newswithviews.tv at newswithviews.com. God bless you. Sure appreciate you tuning in this morning. You know, folks, the scripture says that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We are. That the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead, if you're born again of the Spirit of God, that same spirit dwells inside you. We are the house of God. And in America today, we've taken a term called church, and we've applied that to a building, a place where people go. Are you going to go to church on Sunday? Hey, I think I'm going to go down to the church and pick something up. No, folks. Please understand something. We collectively are the church, the ecclesia, the scripture says, the called out ones, those who have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. We take Jesus everywhere that we go. I was born again in 1989, and even though I'd been in church and religious up to that point, I didn't really understand the gospel at all until I received Christ as my Savior and was born again, 1989. And I, like everybody else, I went to church. I started going to church and to church and to the building. And it wasn't until I got sued by the ACLU in 1999 that I came out of the church and began to go to where the people were, to understand that are you listening to me? There is a church outside the church. Oh, yeah. There's a church outside the church. One of the things that's happened to us in America is there are a lot of people who are disaffected because of church. They've been injured by church. They've been wounded by church. They've been misled and mistaught by church, and they are sick and tired of church. And a lot of the work that we see going on, good gospel work that we see going on, is being done not by people who are inside an institutional church with four walls and a steeple, but people who love Christ with their whole heart, who have turned to home churches or small groups in which they get together and then are actively on the streets doing the work of the gospel outside the church. Oh, yes, folks, there is a church outside the church. You know what happened to me when I got introduced to this church outside the church? My life, my faith came alive. Oh my goodness. To go back and sit inside a four-walled building and to call that my church life experience. Oh man. You talk about putting a bushel basket over it. Folks, there is a church outside the church. One of the things that we're fighting against in America is we have taken the light and we have trapped it inside. I call it the stained glass fortress, that we are not being effective outside of the four walls because we think the church is the building and a gathering place where we go. I know that people will say to me, Coach, the scripture says that we should not forsake the assembling together. Well, I'm not saying we shouldn't assemble together. I'm just saying it doesn't have to happen in a church. There is a church outside the church. I know there are many of you who watch my videos. I hear from you weekly that this is almost like a church for you. This experience here is a relationship that we're developing through this camera, through this media. But it's not about me and it's not about you. It's about our common love and our common desire to serve the Lord. And for many, they have found the ability to serve the Lord, not inside the church, but outside the church. There is a church outside the church, and it's growing. It's getting stronger. I fellowship with them weekly. I see them out on the streets. I want to encourage you today, folks, that if you want to come alive, take your faith outside the four walls of the church. Go find those who are out there living out their faith. Plug in with them, and your faith will come alive. Why? Oh, there is a church outside the church. This is Coach Dave Dobbenmeyer at newswithviews.tv.
Amen. Amen, Jared. Hey, Jared, good Isaiah. That's good. That baby's old. That's 4 or 5 years old. There is a church outside the church. I got more pairs of glasses laying around. I don't even know which one to pick up. I just want to remind you of this, okay? Isaiah chapter 1, verse 2, I'm going to begin. Now, I better start in verse 1, the vision of Isaiah, the son of Amoz, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. Apply this just about to any nation, really, rejects God. Here's what he says. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord God hath spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knows his owner. And the ass is master's crib, but Christians do not know, my people do not consider. You see, verse 4, they're a sinful nation. America, the American church is a people laden with lust, with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord, they have provoked the Holy One of Israel into anger, and they're gone way backward. Why should you be stricken anymore? The Lord said, why should I afflict you even any more than that? You're just going to revolt more and more because your whole head is sick. Your whole heart's faint. From the sole of your foot, even to the head, there is no soundness in it. But wounds and bruises, putrefying sores, they've not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. We couldn't care less about abortion. Gay marriage, we could, church couldn't care less. The country's desolate. This is the judgment, folks. This is the evidence, okay? This is the evidence of the judgment of God. Your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land immigrants devour it in your presence. It is desolate as overthrown by strangers. And the daughter of Zion, the church, is left as a cottage in a vineyard. As a lodge in a garden of cucumbers. Or really, it's a besieged city. Except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant, we would have already been as Sodom. And we would have been like Gomorrah. So there's evidence of where we are. The church world, the church refusing to be the salt and the light that it's called to be. And as a result, strangers are ruling over us. Strangers devour our land. It's the judgment of God. All of it, guys, all of it being done with the support and approval of family of God, churches of God. I got something else to jump to. Anybody want to say anything there? Hey, got one spot open. Somebody wants to jump in out there. Jump in. Anybody? Okay, how much time I got? I got 15 minutes. This will be good. Jared, go to George Barna. It's Barna Research. Hey, folks, I'm still going to go to ACLU, Southern Poverty Law. I'm still going to get there. Bear with me, okay? Still going to get there. Jared's pulling up for us right now. I know you have it on there, Jared. It says www.barna.com. Significant to show what's going on. Here it is. Pull that up there on our screen, Jared. Let's make it. Meet those who love Jesus, but are not the church. Meet those who love Jesus, but don't love the church. These are, again, I hate it when this happens. George Barna statistics. Let's pull some of those up there, Jared, if we can. We live in an increasingly secular America. In this new age, religion is in retreat from the public square. Somebody say amen on that one. And traditional institutions like the church are no longer functioning with the cultural authority that they once held in generations past. Today, listen to this. Nearly half of America is unchurched today. But even though more and more Americans are abandoning the institutional church, its defined boundary markers of religious identity, many still believe in God and practice faith outside its walls. 220 of them were in Thornville, Ohio last week. This is the first of a two, okay, part of a two-part explanation of why people love Jesus, but not the church. They love Jesus, but not the church. The couch is the bride of Christ. Is it? Is it really? You tell me that old Presbyterian church sitting in downtown Columbus that is homo friendly, homo, what's the word they use? You tell me that's the bride? Those of you who think church is brighter, you tell me that thing? Come on. Traditional Christian with exceptions. To get a sense of the enduring faithfulness among Christians despite a rejection of the institutional church, Barna created a metric to capture those who most neatly fit this description. It includes those who self-identify as Christians, okay? They self-identify as Christians and who strongly agree that their religious faith is very important in their life. But they are the church. That is, they have attended church in the past but haven't done so in the last 6 months. You understand who we're talking about? Most of you here listening, a lot of you. These individuals have a sincere faith. 89% have made a personal commitment to Jesus Christ that is still important in their life today, but are notably absent from church. Do you guys get the significance of this? The power of the Bible-believing Christian. 89% of those who left church are fundamental Christians in their beliefs. You understand it? So the salt has left the building. Okay? According to aggregate Barna tracking data, this group makes up 1/10 of the population, and it's growing. The people who've left the church. It was 7% in 2004. How about this, Sarah? The majority of those who've left are women. And 80% are between the ages of 33 and 70. We're the ones that have left. That is, they are mostly Gen Xers and boomers, not millennials or elders. So millennials are the least, although millennials are the least church generation, they are also the least likely to either identify as Christian or say faith is important to their life, explaining they're underrepresented among this group. Elders are underrepresented for the opposite reason. They're the generation most likely to attend church regularly. Walk into your church and see how old your church has become and see if that bodes well for the future. Now, they have a lot of charts and all that kind of stuff. I'm going to try to give you the nitty gritty so we, again, we understand where we are. Love Jesus, but not the church. 61% female, 39% male. Hey, that's probably because the female rules the house. Somebody give me a thumbs up. The woman's the one that says to her husband, we ain't going back there anymore. Because males, for the most part, are passive in regards to their faith. That's what we've been taught to do. Okay, honey, whatever you want to do. You don't want to go, okay, I'm good with that, honey. This group also appears to be mostly white. Hey, Larry, how about that? Huh? How about that? This group also appears to be mostly white. 60 wasps! Wasps are leaving the church! Oh, my goodness. The fact that they're as likely to identify as Democrat than Republican is interesting, particularly for Christians and those in the South Midwest.
Although millennials are the least church generation.
Left-leaning people of faith may encounter political discord with their church, prompting an exit. Somebody wanted to say something there. I felt you weigh in. No? Scroll on down, Jared. It's what we're dealing with. There's a church outside the church, and it's a good thing. Scroll on down, Jared. I don't mean to bark at you like that. I'm sorry. Okay, now look at this. This fascinates me. Orthodox belief despite church absence. We're talking about these people, this church outside the church now, okay? Despite leaving the church, this group has maintained a robustly orthodox view of God. We're talking about those who have dropped out of the church. What we have in the church right now are feel-good, best-life-now Christians, for the most part. Sorry. In every case, their beliefs, who? These people dropped out. Their beliefs about God are more orthodox than the general population. For instance, they strongly believe there is one God. 93% of those church people who no longer go to church, 93% of them believe there's only one God. While, as compared to U.S. adults, which is 59%, and practicing Christians, 90%, affirm that God is all-powerful, all-knowing, perfect creator of the universe who rules today. 94% of people who don't go to church believe that, while in all the U.S. adults, it's only 57%. Practicing Christians, it's 85%. And they strongly agree that God is everywhere. That's 95% of those who don't go to church, while in U.S. adults, it's only 65%. Interesting. Keep going on down, Jared. Something going on in church. You see, we don't know it. There's a church outside the church. It's positive. If amorphous views of religion. Okay, we're talking about these people now who've dropped out of church. Despite their apparent discomfort with church, this group still maintains a very positive view of religion. When asked whether they believe religion is mostly harmful, their response once again stood out from the general population and aligned with church-going counterparts. 71% believe that that religion is good, compared to 71% among practicing Christians. But look, only 48 of adults in America think the church is good. Go ahead. Religion harmful. I'm sorry. On down, Jared. Hey, guys, this is a picture. This is a mirror for us if we'll look at it. This is a mirror. Look at this. Privately spiritual. Due to their enduring religious affiliation and overtly religious faith, this group of people, this church outside the church, falls outside the characterization of spiritual, but not religious folks, the topic of next week's argument. But one thing they do share is a sense of spirituality. Slightly fewer than 90% identify, these are people who've dropped out, as spiritual, which is the same as the practicing Christians. They think they're spiritual. But the natural, far exceeding the national average of 65% of people who consider themselves spiritual. So I think there's one more thing you can get down to, Jared. But unlike practicing Christians and evangelical, this, whoops, you lost me there, Jared. Go back up one, I think. There we go. But unlike practicing Christians and evangelicals, this spirituality that they have is deeply personal, even private, with many preferring to keep spiritual matters to themselves. See, we're not supposed to keep spiritual matters to ourselves. Only 2 in 5 say that they talk with their friends about spiritual matters often. This is less than half as much as practicing Christians, and almost 4 times out of evangelicals. When asked specifically about evangelizing, whether they personally have a responsibility to tell others about their religious beliefs, the difference are even more striking. Fewer than 1 in 10 love Jesus, but not the church. Strongly agree that they have a responsibility to proselytize. Okay, I'm going to stop right there because I'm running out of time. Here's the point they're making. The church outside the church, for the most part, keeps to themselves. That's part of our problem. That's what I saw at Hear the Watchman. I'm sorry. Yeah, I'd Hear the Watchman also at our conference this weekend. People are starving for fellowship because those who drop outside of the church tend to isolate themselves, and isolation is not a good thing. But we know just by the sheer numbers that there are thousands and thousands and millions who have dropped out of the church who still hold fundamental Christian beliefs. Those are, by the way, the ones that went to the polls and voted Hillary Clinton out of the White House. So what do we do? That's the question here. By the way, I'll send you this link so that you, if you want it, you can even email me. We'll get it to you. This is really, really a great self-evaluation of where we are. Now, the question is, if there are this many of us outside the church, how do we pull this thing together? See, don't miss this. Those going to church are spiritual, but they're not fundamental in their beliefs. Those are not the same. Oprah's spiritual. Sanjay Gupta, he's spiritual. Rachel Maddow, she's spiritual. That word doesn't mean anything. Bible believer, that's what we're looking for. And so those in the churches tend to be spiritual, having a form of godliness, denying the power thereof. And such men turn away, while those who have left the church are deeply, biblically spiritual, but for the most part, keeping themselves in silence. That's not a good thing. Somebody help me with a solution. Give me a reaction here. How much time do I have here? Man, we're right up against it.
Well, unity. Mm-hmm. Unity has got to be part of the solution. It is what Jesus cried out for. It is what the Bible covers over time and time and time again in the New Testament, the need to be unified. But now, in order to unify, we have to come up with a common action plan for all of the different causes.
There you
do. Somewhere, no, someplace, there is such an action plan. We've just got to allow the Holy Spirit to bring it forth.
Yeah, we haven't been very good at that, Larry. I would agree with that. That has to be the solution. We have to put it into practice. We haven't done a great job of that. That's our challenge. There are more of us than there are of them. But the dissemination of the information and our frustration with speaking the truth and the reaction that we get from others has caused us to go silent. And as a result, as we just read, strangers are devouring our land. And at some point, we're going to have to rise up with a more militant, violent, that's not the right word. See, we think violent, we think guns and bullets, not what I'm talking about, a more aggressive Christianity to push back against the forces of darkness. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of God suffered violence, and violent men take it by force. We have to become more passionate, more organized. So what are you saying, Coach? I'm saying today, I'm trying to encourage you that there are a lot of us, there are many of us, but we're not unified. You know, I was noticing something the other day. In fact, I can't remember who it was that told me. There's some YouTube channels out there that have 150,000 followers. Some people can post a YouTube and immediately it's got 90,000 views. And I check it, ours, we're in the hundreds. Well, one thing I think makes us unique, I think we speak of deeply biblical issues. And to be perfectly honest, not a lot of people are interested in it. Don't ever forget, wide, narrow, many, few. There's a church outside the church. Be encouraged today. God bless you. See you tomorrow.